I think their team plays probably. Their goaltending's been really good, but it gets to be a story that's bigger that you almost start to think foolishly that it's been only their goaltending, and that's not accurate. And they're in a real good mental place right now. They've got a young team, didn't make any changes, and they've clawed themselves back into a legitimate fight for the playoffs with 20 games left. I think their schedule is good. They've got 10 playoff teams, 10 non-playoff teams. So there's a lot of belief in that room, and they'll bring that into the game tonight. And they also are coming back into the race, not letting it slip. So emotionally, they've got more energy. If they had been 2 points up and now are six back, it's a completely different animal that you're facing. But now fighting back in, even on back-to-back nights, they're going to play with confidence, a little bit loose, and certainly excited.
That sounds like you're sort of describing your team too, though, but with a difference in the standings.
Well, we've got a different dynamic. I think we feel good about where we're at. We've got a very difficult schedule ahead of us, and we've been really good at staying kind of in that moment, suffering our losses well, and getting back to some quality hockey. So the confidence that we have is recent on our play, and momentum changes every time the puck gets dropped.
How has the addition of Myers kind of changed the dynamic of your defense?
He has been so good defensively. The points are great, and he's changed games with what he's been able to do offensively. You know, in Detroit with the rush, the slap shot when we're down a goal to Edmonton, he's had a real impact on that. But we can move people around on our back end, and not in terms of pairings, in terms of matchups and things like that, because of the way he and Toby have played together. Whether we run them against the other team's best behind what you might view as their checking line or with an offensive line to try to get a little bit more going, he's just given us a lot more options. But so much of that is really how good he's been defensively. His stick's been fantastic.
What is it that you like about him and Toby together? Did anything surprise you about that pairing, or have they played the way?
No, you know what? He came into that hole because we wanted to move as few parts around when you introduce a new player, disrupt as few things as possible, and hope that we would see some chemistry there. When you take the size out of it, we would describe them probably similarly. Both skate really well. They've got really good defensive sticks, make a great first pass, can get up into the holes. And they have, so we were looking for some sign of chemistry, and they played well, and then in practice they started to look really good together, and that translated into their last two games.
Paul, what are you looking for from Stepniak, Lowry, and Wheeler?
Well, we've got a little bit more, you know, veteran players that have played in the top nine now playing with them, with Lowry. So we think he can make some plays. We've got different elements, you know, Blake's speed, and he can score. Adam's been a real physical force now and been real strong down low. Again, a bit of a conduit between the two. Lee's a responsible defensive player, but he can make some plays and create a little bit more, and he's got some confidence around the net. So we'll see. You know, we're looking to see something.
This isn't a knock on any of the other players, but is this the most
depth? But it's going to sound like one, right?
It's probably will. Okay. But, so as you always say, I'll be careful how I...
Yeah, pick your words.
Is this the most diversity you've had in the lineup since you've been here that allows you so many options that a Wheeler can go play with those two?
Most of the times, and it's happened, so we can talk about even Evander Kane, Dustin Byfuglien, and now Blake Wheeler have kind of come out or into the lineup either due to injury or position change with Buff. And when they've come back in, there have been things that we liked in the lineup. So Evander had been playing with Mark and Blake and doing really well. He got injured, and then Matty Perreault went in there, and he lit it up. So when Evander came back in and Buff went, you know, was in the forward position, they were in that third line hole, so to speak, and we didn't change that. Even though all three of those players are top six players, because we like what the other lines are doing. That's really what's happened with Blake. Now there's an advantage there. Blake's going to see a set of defense that he didn't even know were in the league. You know, I mean, he always drew the number one pair, so it'll be a little bit different look. But we have spent time over the last 3 days playing that, you know, what if game. You know, if we were healthy when Matty Perreault came down, what would you think? You know, how would we move that around? So it, most of our decisions that we've made up front going back to last year were all based on who was out of the lineup, not necessarily who was in. But with everybody healthy, we will have solid players on four lines.
Paul, last night...
I'm not sure that you ever get to see that, but that is the idea.
Last night in a game that mattered to you, the goalie interference issue came up again between Calgary and Philadelphia. Yeah. Can you tell me what...
So I didn't see that. I was doing the... Well, I was watching the mini game and then had to watch the Florida-Toronto when just to figure out what was going on, but go ahead.
There were at least two incidents in the game there last night. So just wondering what your view about where the standard is, for that right now. I know part of the answer is it's that time of year, but...
You want the goaltender to be able to engage the shot. If he engages the screen in front, then for me all bets are off, within reason. But you want the goaltender to be able to move in the blue paint and play a rebound on a save. So just because the shot comes. At the same time, it's so difficult for the referees to make this call because there isn't a defenseman in the league that's allowing that forward free rein in front of the net. I mean, and we all do it. It happened the other night with Scheif going to the net against LA, and he got wiped out just before and just about took Jonathan Quick out of the game. Yeah, that's a hard call to make, and it happens. That is the area for me that I'd love to see the guys upstairs be able to step in and weigh in on that call, because I don't know that you can ask the referee to watch the puck, watch the interference, and at the same time the play developing to the net when the play's coming out of the corner. There's just too much to process there. And angles and bodies, it's real difficult. I'd love to see that go upstairs, that after that they could call a contact and who was responsible for the contact and the goalie.
Thanks for anticipating my second question and answering it.
There you go. That's the one area where I would like to see to that. And I think, you know, beyond that coach's challenge idea on the offsides and all that, I'm not sure I like that idea at all. But I do think that that's an area that you can't expect the referees to get right all the time.
After the Toronto game, you recognized clearly that there was the schedule letting up a little bit, an extended time at home, an opportunity to practice, the build-up to the trade deadline. Have you been able to do the things you wanted to do in that time period? Because I think you saw an opportunity there.
Yeah, we have. We've, over that last stretch, been able to make a decision on a guy that got hot in net because he was going to get some rest time, so we've run Hutch a little bit harder. In that Toronto game, we had actually, a week earlier, had a little bit of a flu problem go through our room. And then we had a couple of banged up guys in that Toronto game. I mentioned after we weren't skating the way we would have liked to. Blake clearly came out for two more games because of it. You get into those stretches where all of a sudden guys start going down, whether your schedule's hot or not, or your playing injury list gets really long, and I felt like in that Toronto game we were at that point, so the rest had been good for us.
Can you explain what you mean? When you hear good stick, it's different for different positions. For a defenseman, what do you mean by a good stick?
The number of times, especially when it related to Tyler, the number of times he broke up a play just by knocking something down with the air, forcing a player to a place that takes him out of a good offensive position. And he's had a really so much of those when you're watching him on video, or when you watch him live, you don't really get to see the danger develop. But when it crosses the blue line from the bench, you're going, this is a problem. If based on the positioning and the speed they're coming, we need something to get stopped here. And Toby does it really well. Tyler has numbed a bunch of times. And you've seen he's gotten the stick out on a guy, created the loose puck, grabbed it, skated it 10, 15 feet quickly and moved it. Those are the things about having a real good stick. Some guys, and I think you'll find 2-3 years from now that will be something we talk about with Adam Lowry an awful lot. He gets his stick out in the right spots. We've also been accused, rightfully so, of getting our sticks into the wrong spots and taking an awful lot of tripping penalties, but we're working. Those are the things that you learn. Tyler's had a really, really good stick. So defensively is the area that I'm most pleased with.
You've heard a number of defensemen talk about working with Larry Robinson in particular on that, and that he is kind of the master at teaching that. Your guy, Charlie Huddy, seems to be pretty good at it too.
For sure. You go back, so every team kind of has, I think we talked about this a few months ago, those themes of a team. Every team has a bit of an identity, but for years, the Montreal Canadiens sticks were better than everybody else's. And it was where you first started to hear when you'd watch, you know, stick on puck, get the stick out, and you could see them working on it, and they were really good. I think part of the reason why they had been able to play with maybe a slightly physically undersized team, they're just so good with their sticks. Having a defenseman who's played the game is invaluable, especially for somebody like me who didn't, because so much of that little teaching is through experience, knowing where to put your stick, and that's a lot of the things that they talk about on the bench. It's why it's so important to have good mentors. The coaches kind of teach the systems, try to develop an attitude and all those things, but the players learn far more about the game from the guy they're sitting beside on the bench, especially a veteran guy, where your stick, when to hit, how to hit, all those things. It's where those good teams develop their youngsters. They bring them in, and you get to sit beside a Lidstrom or a Datsyuk in Detroit. You learn far more from the players you play with than you do from the coaches. But then having a coach that's played the position can have a big impact.
Since you mentioned the Florida scenario, knock on wood it doesn't happen to you, but what's the protocol for you guys? Well, behind Wade Flaherty.
No, Wade's the stopper. That's it. I mean, there's logistic problems. Nobody has three or four extra goalies hanging around. I haven't gone through the team. At some point, I guess you will now ask who's the next guy in. Usually what happens is, and I guess they don't do it much anymore, but there was always somebody stealing the goalie's gloves and going out 10 minutes early. You guys may have been around. You remember you seeing that? Like there was, and it was always a guy that you really didn't want in there. But that's kind of your first in, right? Who's the best in the shoot around at the start? So there'll be somebody in there that's played goal. I guess it's a serious question if you're in that situation and it's a playoff game. And we got Wade on the bike, you know. We're working him. After that, not 100% sure you wouldn't go 6-on-5. You know. And just block everything before it gets to the crease and you get that puck and don't give it back. You're playing 6-on-5. It's a thought.